Avrik. Avrik. So that's the trouble.
Is it what?
Avrik means Avrik. That means a young chosen one.
What?
Oh, bless.
That's what they called Yosef HaTzadik. When he went through Mitzrayim, when he was the king, they said they called in front of him Avrik. It's in the Torah.
Avrik?
What's he there, Avrik? Yosef Avrik. The first Avrik was
Maverick.
Yosef HaTzadik. Moshe Avrik was Maverick. Yosef Avrik was Yavrik.
What? Let's just go. Let's just
add more. So the Gimel Amud Aleph. Amud Rav Tankim. Rav says, Darish Bar Kapara Bitzipari. Bar Kapara Darshan in the city of Tzipari. My Dixir, what is the Pasuk?
Looking at this, I'm like, when did I do this?
What is the pasuk? Sheish hasayim hoila. These three barleys. Six barleys. Sorry. Six barleys. Nasanli. He gave it to me. That is a pasuk from Sefer Rus. Rus went to glean, to gather grain that dropped during the harvest time in the field of Bayez. Rus was a convert from Avinu Mayev. She was from Mayev. Rus was formerly married to Machlain. Machlain was a descendant of Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda. So she married Machlain, who was a descendant of Yehuda, through his son Peretz. He was a direct descendant of Peretz and Yehuda. His father was Elimelech. His mother was Nami. And Rus was married to Machlain. Machlain married Rus in Mayav because Elimelech took his family from Eretz Yisrael to Mayav during the famine years. Things were more prosperous in Mayav. Elimelech went to Mayav. Elimelech died there. Kilian died there. Machlain, everyone died. The only ones to survive were Rus, Arpah, and Nami. Rus was Machlain's wife, Arso was Kilian's wife, Nami was Elimelech's wife. Rus and Nami come back to Eretz Yisrael. Arpa stays over there. And they come back, Rus and Nami, they lost all their money, poverty-stricken. And there's a mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah is called Leket. That a poor person's allowed to go through a field, and by right, anything that falls...
Does that apply to a non-Jew?
From what I know? I don't think so. But Midrabanan, Midrabanan,
oh,
you let them do it.
Anyway, right?
Midrabanan, you let them stay. Midrabanan, you let them stay. Ava, yeah, somebody like Ava. Mm-hmm. Ava. I mean, that's the source. You can give tzedakah to non-Jews as well. You give them. They ask you, you give them. You give tzedakah to non-Jews as well. But it's Midrabanan. So she went to the field, and Boaz, give them. Yeah, give them. Of course. Boaz is the owner of the field. She's gleaning in the field. The luck is that if one stalk of wheat falls or two stalks of wheat falls, then the owner is not allowed to pick it up, leave it for the poor people. If three fall at once, then the owner can't do it. Rus is a tzaddikah. She keeps all the halachas. Boaz notices it. He calls for her. He meets her. Eventually he marries her, and she's the great-great-grandmother of David HaMelech, Boaz and Rus. But before he marries her, he tells her there's somebody else in line. The closest relative is supposed to marry her, because her husband died, so the closest relative should marry her. There's somebody else in line. According to some versions, his name was Toiv. The Torah doesn't tell us what his name is. His name was Taif. And he said, he's in line. And if he marries you, Rus, fine. If not, I'll marry you. And then he sends her home with six barleys. He goes back to Nami. She tells Nami, I think I'm going to be engaged soon. there's somebody else in line, but I think I'm going to get engaged to him. And he gave me 6 barleys. That's where the glory starts. Got it? You all with me? We're on the same page? Sheisha Sarim, 6 barleys. Haila, these ones. Nasali. He gave it to me. Look what I have. I have 6 barleys. My Sheisha Sarim, what is 6 barleys? What is 6 barleys? You know how small a barley is? 6 barleys.
Grains or stalks?
Ilay Meshay Sarim Mamish. 6 barleys mamish, 6 kernels. Mamish. Chidakish abayas. Is it the manner of bayas? Lita matana. To give a present of Shay Sarim? 6 barley? 6 barley grains? That's a present? Bayas is a rich man. He gives us 6 barley grains? Do you know how little that is? The Gemara says that can't be. Ela Shay Sa'in. 6 sa'ah. Sa'ah is a measure. So even though the Torah doesn't use the word sa'ah, the Torah says 6 barleys. But obviously the Torah means 6 measures. Same way as Akasha, that's a lot. Chidak shalisha litel sheisein. Is it the manner of a woman to carry 6 sa'ah barley? 6 sa'ah is a lot of barley. It's 6 sacks of barley. She can't carry that much. So it can't be 6 grains, and it can't be 6 sacks. So what is it? Rashi explains that the reason why the Gemara assumes it's a saw is because that's what they package things up in. They didn't make individual packets. And if the Torah doesn't tell you what it was, you have to assume that it's in the bag. That's the size for one person to carry. So if you gave her 1 saw, that's enough for one person to carry. 6 saw? Impossible. So the Gemara says, you're right, it wasn't 6 saw. It was 6 grains. He counted out 6 grains of barley, and he gave her 6 grains of barley. Why do you do that? El Remez Remez Law. He was hinting to her. It was a sign. He gave her plenty of food besides. He gave her food. But on top of the food, he also said, I want you to take these 6 barleys. Hold them. Keep them. He's sending her a message. He's giving her a sign. What's the sign? Shasidin Shishabanim. 6 children are going to be destined to come out of her. Lots Bimanu. Shemizbarkim. That they're going to be blessed. The Shesh Shesh Brachas with 6 blessings. She's going to have 6 descendants. They're not all sons. She'll have 6 descendants, so we'll be blessed with 6 blessings.
Each?
We'll see the Gemara, we'll go through it. Each. So that's why he gave her 6 barleys. So we're going to have to do some work on this Gemara. Why barleys? Why 6? We'll have to do some work on this. Bayez was a Navi. That's why he married her in the first place. He died that night. He knew he was... He had one day left on this world. He got married. He knew what he was doing. He was a Navi. He was a Navi. Elohim. These are the 6 descendants. David. Mashiach. David and Mashiach both come from Rus. Daniel. We had Daniel before. Daniel comes from Rus. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shlomo is not mentioned. David, Mashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Diksev. How do you know the 6 brachas? We're always going through the 6 brachas. So we'll start with David. David's the first one. Vayan echad me'anarim. One of the lads answered. I think that this pasuk was learned when Shaul HaMelech was looking for someone to play music for him. He was looking for someone to serve him. And David HaMelech was chosen. And what were his qualifications? Ayan Echad Me'anarim, one of the young men, told Shaul HaMelech, Ayan, and he said, Hinei Isi Ben LeYishai, I know of a son of Yishai. David HaMelech was the son of Yishai. Beis HaLachmi, lived in Beis Lachem. Rusim Bayez, lived in Beis Lachem. Yedei Nagein, he knows how to play an instrument. Yibra Chayel, powerful. Ishmachama, he's a man of war. Navain, Davar, he has the depth of understanding. Bina, Ish Tar, he has a pleasant appearance. He has a beautiful appearance. Bashem Imer, and God is with him. Six. David HaMelech had six things. Once we're mentioning David HaMelech and the six things, so we've already mentioned some of the opposition. There was tremendous opposition to David HaMelech. David HaMelech was cast in the unlikely role of a Mayard B'Malchus. Shaul HaMelech had decided that David HaMelech is rebelling, he's a rebel. David HaMelech is a threat to the life and the well-being of the king. David HaMelech, therefore, is Chayav Misa. And the Abezim at that time, who was a big Talmid Chacham, his name was Doeg. Doeg HaAdaimi, Doeg the Red One, he shared Shaul HaMelech's view. He also considered David HaMelech the Malchus, and he would feed Shaul HaMelech with bits of Lashon Hara on David HaMelech. So he fed fuel to the fire. If it wasn't for Doeg HaAdaimi, a lot of the things that Shaul did would never have been done. He was directly responsible for the entire city of Kahanim getting killed out. David HaMelech, he was running away from Shaul. He wasn't rebelling against Shaul. He found that Shaul wanted to kill him. He ran away. He needed a haven. He needed a sanctuary. So there was a city of Kahanim. It was called Naiv. Naiv is Begamatria.
52.
Which is Begamatria Elio and Leib and Gipel. 52 is a very right. Huh? Right. It's a very chashuv number. It's the Shmuel Navi, it's the age of Shmuel Navi lived 52 years. 52, it's a very chashuv number, Naiv. And David HaMelech hid out in Naiv, and the Kehanim took him in and they gave him food. Now that's aiding and abetting a fugitive. So they're all Chayav Misa. But Shaul HaMelech didn't know about it. Doeg found out about it. Doeg told Shaul that the whole city is aiding David HaMelech and he's a rebel. So the stain of rebelliousness spreads to them. Shaul HaMelech put them all to death. This is an example of the Lashon Hara that Doeg was capable of. He's about Lashon Hara. Doeg is held up as the prototype of Balu Lashon Hara by the Jewish people. By the Gentiles, the Baal Lashon Hara that's held to the light is Haman. Doeg among the Jews and Haman among the Yahweh. Doeg is the same gematria, it's almost the same letters as David. You realize? It's an easy gematria. Dal Vav, and then Aleph Gimel is a Dal. So he's the anti-David. He was the opponent of David.
You could do that? But he got pwned in the end. Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. So this pasuk is very praiseworthy to David. It enumerates six praises about David HaMelech. V'amar b'yudam rav kol ha-patzak ha-zeh le'em v'dayeg ala b'lashon hara. Dayeg turned it all around. David said it to Shaul in order that Shaul should be jealous of David. You know, if you... praise is a dangerous weapon. If you use praise to take someone down. And that was Dayeg's kavana. Doeg was using this pasuk to take David HaMelech down. That's Doeg. Haman also did that. What did Haman say about the Jewish people? Haman was a Balasha. What did he say? They're mefuzzled, they're scared, they're mefired, they're separate. Chazal say, Dasi HaMelech and Shaimim, they have their own laws, they don't intermarry. The things he said about the Jewish people are the shvachim of the Jewish people. They keep the laws of God, they keep the laws of God, they don't marry in. I mean, not everything he said was complimentary, but some of the things. Because he knew that by saying these things, even though they're a shevach, but Achashverosh won't consider them a shevach. So the best way to destroy somebody's reputation, the most effective way, is through praising him. That's the way you tear him down. You arouse the jealousy of someone. You don't do that with your kids, you know. You tell one kid, how come, look at your older brother, he always gets hundreds. He always gets good mark and conduct. What are you going to do by saying that? What are you going to accomplish? He will hate him! He will hate him. Yadir Nagin. What does it mean to dub as Yadir Nagin? He can play an instrument? He can play an instrument? He did that also. He did that as well. He knew how to play an instrument. He knew how to play on the instrument of Tadak Desha. Tadak Desha is an instrument, a musical instrument. The one who learns Tadak can produce from it the most pleasing and beautiful musical harmony. You ever say Psuka de Zimra? Hallelujah b'neivel b'china, hallelujah b'saif amacha. Praise again God with the navel, with the china. Praise God with the tof and the machal. Use tambourines and drums, cymbals and harps. We say it. So that's what we mean. You're supposed to praise God with cymbals? Cymbals? What's the last pasuk? Kol Neshamata Elokei Haleluya. Playing an instrument is playing it's like poetic. You play the harp strings of the soul. Yedei Nagin. Yedei Lishol. He knew how to pluck the strings. He knew how to ask a question. Not everyone knows how to ask a question. He knew how to ask a question that it hit the mark. You know how to ask a question that when you answer the question, it's going to light up the darkness. His questions were penetrating. His questions hit the mark. Gibor! He's strong. Strong! She had Dela Hashem because he knew how to answer questions. Oh. That means you know how to parry the thrust and deliver a blow. You know how to answer the questions. Ish Mechama, a man of war. You know, so a Talmud can ask a Rebbe a question, so the Talmud can know how to ask, and the Rebbe can know how to answer. It's not a war. But Ish Mechama is also a man of war. She had day Lisa Velita Mecham to Shandal, you know how to give as good as he got. And Mechama tell you, he could fight. Ish Tayar, he has a pleasant countenance. Shemar Panim Balacha. He's able to make his words acceptable and pleasant because he doesn't just say things, he proves them. He'll say a chiddush and he'll bring 32 million prices. He's adorning his chiddush. He's a Mar Panim. Navin Davar. Navin Davar is something which we've heard before. Shemavin Davar Mitek Davar. When he learns the Dvar Chokhmah, he takes it further. And he expands it. And he makes comparisons. He's able to compare one thing to the next because he understands the Yisayid. Vashem Imai, number 6. God is with him. What does it mean God is with him? Shalacha kemaisa b'chamakim. The halacha is like David HaMelech in every single place. And we just learned the Gemara, those of you who learn Lav, Tessa Mabez, and Mamma Mabez, says the machlaik is Rav and Rav Yechanan, and the halacha is always like Rav Yechanan. Machlekes of Yekin and Vuman, halachas always like Rav Yekin. Machlekes of Meir and Rav Yisin, halachas like Rav Meir. The Gemara is saying, halachas of Bekiva, Michavi Rav. If a machlekes between anybody, the machlekes like a Bekiva. If a machlekes between a rabbin, even if it's a rabbin against him, halachas like a Bekiva. The Gemara is saying, David HaMelech, halachas like a Meir HaKamakam. Why? Hashem Imai. God is with him.
Even though Rav's Tanu Peleg, Rav Yochanan still goes over him?
Yes. Whoa. You always pass on like Tanu.
Rav Yochanan's not Tanu though, right?
No. Not the same level as Rav. Bekulu? And all these six things. Shalom Melech heard about these six things. Who told Shalom about these six things? Dayeg.
But why would he already be doing this before, like, David even entered into the picture?
Jealous. Dayeg. Told him all these things. No, he was entering it.
The last point, right?
Yeah.
Lachlan Kamoso topped it off, right?
Dayeg. All these six things. Shaul says, ha! Those six things? Dayeg, I'll have you know. The Kula Amalu and all the six things. He said to him, Yehinus and Benika Mayu. My son Yehinus had five of the six. Yehinus knows how to ask. Yehinus knows how to answer. Yehinus knows how to fight. Yehinus knows how to bring rayas. Yehinus could take the chokma and take it further and make it grow and make comparisons. Kim Jamalei Hashem Imai. When Dayeg said Hashem Imai, that God is with him, the Lach is like him in all things, Milsa was a thing to be Didei Namalei Havi. Even Shaul didn't have that. Chol Shdaite. His mind experienced a state of weakness. He was feeble. He was made feeble by it. The Iknebe. And he was jealous. It seems that this was it. Dayeg, his arrow, found its mark. The Bishal Ksiv, V'chala sheyifne yashia. And it's a hard pasuk to digest. Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Dalet.
I just call Shdaite before Ikniyah. Shouldn't he get jealous first and then feel bad? Call Shdaite?
No, the call Shdaite caused the jealousy. Shaul never would have gotten jealous. Yeah. He guarded himself, but since he felt the chalishas that I don't have this, and he felt very...
It's not jealousy?
No. Not, I don't have it, and feeling weak because of it is not jealous at all. So then he wasn't able to guard himself against the jealousy. Shaul HaMelech never would have gotten jealous. The weakness caused him to get jealous. Yeah. Raga. After Muhammad Bashal Lachad and Malucha Yisrael, he captured and he was the king on Klai, so he locked himself in Bechalaibov. He fought his surrounding enemies, B'mayib, B'nayamayim, B'edayim, Akhutsayib, B'plishtim, B'chal Yishayifni Yashia. wherever he would turn, Yashia. Yashia means that he was able to instill fear in them. He was able to mix them up. He scattered them. He scattered them. So it's referring to Shalom Aleichem war. Because Yivne Yashia. He was able to scatter them, he was able to mix them up. Of course you understand that this pasuk can be understood on more than one level. That's what it says by Shaul. By David HaMelech it says, V'chal she'yifne yetzliach. Anywhere where David would turn, he'd be matzliach. Shaul was Mashiach and David was matzliach. What's the difference between being Mashiach and being matzliach? I mean, the pasuk shot is Yashia, is that he would render others incapable. He would rather render others impotent. But the Gemara is making a drasha. And the drasha is it's referring to Shaul HaMelech's learning and David HaMelech's learning. That's what the Gemara is doing. Alright, so I'm not sure what we want to focus on today's share. We'll start from the last thing and we'll see if we have time to do more. I mean, we're faced with this challenge. Shaul HaMelech was the Gadol HaDor. Shaul HaMelech was Mishichmei Lamala. That means that he didn't share anything. He didn't share any levels with anyone. He was not comparable to anyone. The Lashon of Navi is he was Mishichmei Lamala. That means he was head and shoulders above anyone. So that means he wasn't just better than everyone. There was no comparison. There was no common ground between him and everyone. He was a Gadol HaDor. And the mistakes that he made were such, you know, I don't want to say it this way, and you're not allowed to say it this way, but when we read Tanakh, so the first impression that we have is that we would never have made those mistakes. And the truth is, on our level, we probably wouldn't have made those mistakes. And that's not our Nisayim. You know, just like the mistake, the Nisayinus of small people is not the same Nisayinus that big people go through. Nisayinus of big people are not the same as Nisayinus that small people go through. I mean, we see this time and time again. If somebody doesn't understand what a Avodah Zarah is, and Hashem says, don't make a graven image, so we say, okay, I'm not going to make a graven image. There's nothing that can get me to make a graven image. But not because we're so great. It's because we don't want to make a graven image. We don't see any reason to make it. So if God says not to do it, we won't do it. Our curiosity, so I won't do it. God doesn't want it. You know, we don't have that Messiah. But if you know what the Kayakh of Avodah Zarah is, and if some Avodah Zarahs look different than other Avodah Zarahs, and some Avodah Zarahs you don't think are Avodah Zarahs, like the Ego Azov, the ones that made it, they didn't think it was Avodah Zarah. To us, of course it's Avodah Zarah. What's one statue different from another? It's because we have no clue. We don't have a clue. So they have, that's their Nisayin. What's not their Nisayin? The Tatar is not their Nisayin. They would never battle a second. That's our Nisayin. So Shalom HaMelech. So that's just the Hagdama. But still, like, how do we understand the Gadol HaDor that he does these things? Gadol HaDor. Yeah, the Gemara says that there's a machlok is David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech. Whether David HaMelech was married to his wife. David was married to Shaul's wife. He had two of them. Michal and Megav, right? Two of them. There's a machlok is... Yeah. David HaMelech was married to two of Shaul's daughters. One died, and he was married. Yeah. David was married to his wife, and he was also married to Shaul's daughters. David helped. Shaul helped. David was not married to his daughter. Shaul HaMelech gave his daughter away to someone else, without a get. David HaMelech did a kiddushin. He married her, and Shaul HaMelech took her away from David and gave him to Palti ben Laish. He told Palti ben Laish, she's not married. Either it was Aiden, it was Kedushin, it was the Shavuot Bruta. She's not married, give her to Palti ben Laish. Here, she's yours. Palti ben Laish. The Gemara uses Palti ben Laish as an example of someone with total control. He had to live with her in the same house. He had to sleep with her in the same bed, because the king would kill him. You know, he can't. He's not about to be murdered with Malchus, but he put a sword between him and his wife, because he held like David HaMelech. He held she was an Ashish Ish.
Why did he sleep in the same bed?
Hey, obviously, because if he didn't, Shaul would find out.
So you would find out there's a big sword in the middle of the bed?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know me. I don't put too much energy into understanding technical details. He put a sword there. Put a sword there. And he never touched her. Right? But what was the machlekes? The machlekes was a machlekes of milva pruta daita, milva daita pruta. If you're Mekadosh and Isha with two things, she owes you $100, yeah? And you're Mekadosh her, and you do two things. I Mekadosh you with a nickel, he gives her a nickel. And she says, well, what about the $100 out here? He says, you know what? Put that in the deal. I'll be Mekadosh with a nickel and with the $100 you owe me. Well, we know that the halacha is you can't marry a lady with a loan. Can't marry a lady with a loan because you didn't give her anything. You're Michael alone, you're not giving her anything. She spent that money already, she can't. But here you gave her a nickel, so and you could marry a lady with a nickel. But here you gave both, so what was the das on? Was the das on the money, or was the das on the loan? If the das was on the nickel, so they're married. If the das was on the loan, so they're not married. It's a machlekes, milva pruta. Daita milva, daita pruta. The Gemara talks about it, that the pruta was, I don't know, like a certain number, like 100 arlis plishtim.
What?
Arlis, we had to kill 100 plishtim, cut off their arlis, and bring it to Shaul. I mean, that was the Kesef Kedushin.
For what?
To marry his daughter. He says, if you bring, whoever brings me 100 arlis plishtim, can marry my daughter.
You brought him like 400 or
so. Yeah, I don't remember the number. All right,
that's ridiculous.
That's good, man. So David held milva pruta as daita pruta. That the das is on the pruta. Why? Either millions of million dollars and the pruta is a nickel. But the das is on real money. And the das is not on the funny money. And Shaul says milva pruta, daita milva. The milva is so much more. So Shaul held they weren't married. And David held they were. But the luck is like David HaMelech. Become luck kind. And Palti ben Laish like David. He's the paisik. Shaul HaMelech, he goes to kill out a Moloch. It's just says, kill them all out. Wipe them all out. Men, women, children, animals. Wipe them all out. He leaves the animals, he leaves the king. He paskined. He was wrong. He was wrong. He paskined wrong. David HaMelech, he was loyal. David HaMelech was not a threat. Had Shaul HaMelech not gone after David, he would have been a wonderful, wonderful Melech. Shaul would have lived his life out. David never would have usurped him. And Yernis and his son would have been the Melech. It would have been two Melechs. It would have been David and Yernis. Have you ever wondered, what would have been if Shaul HaMelech was not convinced that David was a rebel?
Who would be the third Melech?
Shaul would have ended his reign in peace, and the Melech after him would have been David and Yernis. They got along. And not only that, you see, they complimented each other because Yenisei had all five. He was missing the one. So he'd be together with David. They'd be an unbeatable, you know. Yenisei had all the milas except for one. Halakha l'maisa. So you go together with David. You can't have Yenisei as the king by himself. can't, some of the can't pass are local Lamaisa. So you have these things. Mechamas HaMalek, Milva Pruta, Daita Milva, Daita Pruta, David HaMelech, he paskened wrong three times, three major times. So, and David was right. David was right. David was right. The Gemara says the halakha is like David. What's, how could it be? He was so great. He was so great. Joe was so great. And the Tarets is, of course, and this is always the answer. It's because he was so great. Let me give you a little elementary lesson in Malchus. Basic Malchus. Hashem has seven midas that we relate to. Seven midas that we relate to on a very basic elementary level. Everybody can relate to these midas. Mamish, the character traits, we can all do them and emulate them. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hayd, Yisayid, Malchus. Chesed is the first one, Malchus is the last one. Malchus is the bottom. It's the last of the midas. Malchus is the last of the midas. Malchus is the bottom. You know, if you asked me, if I was making a list of midas, wouldn't you put Malchus at the top? Chesed is a nice midah. It's nice to be a bachesed. It's nice to be a gibor, all these midas. But the melech, the king, should go on top. So obviously the midah of Malchus is something else. The midah of Malchus, right. The midah of Malchus is not the midah of being the king, you know. The midah of Malchus is the midah of taking Hashem and making him a king over everything. That's the midah of Malchus. That means my midah, my character trait is, I mean, it's related to anivus, it's very related to modesty. Very closely related to modesty. My character trait is that anything I see, I want, a Kodesh Baruch to me and Melech over it. That means my whole purpose in life is that a Kodesh Baruch should be the Melech. Not that I should be the Melech. Gaiva is, I should be the Melech. And Malchus, Hashem should be the Melech. It's the midah of self-negation. It's the midah of dedicating yourself to a higher cause. That's a midah. And Malchus means that everything should be. Hashem should be a melech of everything. That means Hashem should be a melech over a worm. Hashem should be a melech over a rasha. Hashem should be a melech over going to the bathroom. We do that also. Go to the bathroom. There's halachas how you go to the bathroom. When you wipe yourself, the left hand. The right hand you use to put on tefillin. That's making Hashem a melech even over going to the bathroom. She makes Hashem over the most lowest things. But you use your right hand to do it. Okay? And not the left hand, left arm. Sorry. Left arm. You're making Hashem the melech. Goyim don't have the midah of Malchus. They don't. They only make Hashem a melech over the high things. They don't make Hashem a melech over the low things. They have no such thing as sanctifying low things. They don't. They do have a concept of spirituality, but they say to be a priest, there's a designated people, they're priests, they're separate, they can't have anything to do with low things, they can't get married, they can't be engaged in a livelihood, they can't live among people, nothing. Why? Because to them spirituality means only high things. For states of that's not natural. And it doesn't work. And we now, in the past 10 years, it's been, you know, clear for all to see that the system is bankrupt. It doesn't work. You can't exist as a person. You need low things. But instead of cutting yourself off from the low things, it's a mitzvah. What they consider an abomination, a man living with a woman, that is the greatest, most sacred act that a Jew could do. And every Jew is a priest. We're all rabbis. The priests, they did the sanctity by the Goyim. They have, and the laymen, no sanctity. Once a week for a few hours, they go, put on their tuxedo, their best clothing, they fall asleep in the priest's sermon. And then they see them a week later, if they do that. The priests are right to them. They hold of Kol Goyim or Avon Zelazet. The Goyim are right to them, Shemek. You know, they're the sacred ones, and we can do whatever we want. Go to confessionals, confess your sins, goodbye until next week. They have no concept of the lower aspects, the dregs getting sent to you. But by Klal Yisrael, every Jew's a rabbi. Malchus is its sanctity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his rule, his dominion is over everything, especially the lower things. In order to do that, Rabbi Sai, in order to be a melech, you can't extend God's majesty on low things if you don't understand low things. For example, if you have someone that never did anything wrong, never! If you have someone that doesn't understand how you could do something wrong, never! Will you be effective in taking a drug addict or a drunk and bringing him up and showing him how to get back from a virus and raising him up and bringing God's majesty on the person? Will you be effective? You might be a good, effective role model. You could. You'd be an effective role model. You'll give him something to shoot for, and you're very valuable in the process. But can you show him the way? You can't, because you don't know. You don't know how to come back, because you've never been there. Shalom Melech. His Maila was Shichma Yilamala. That's the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says he was Mishichma Yilamala. He was head and shoulders above. That means that he didn't relate to this world. He was so great that he didn't relate to this world. He understand Torah on a high level. But to pask him whether the chicken is kosher or not, you have to understand Torah on a very low level. Understand? To understand what it means to wipe out a malik in the Olam HaZelyanim, he understood how to extract a malik from his soul, that he shouldn't have any impact on him, and he should fight the Muhammad with the Kayach Hara, you know. He would do very well if he had to fight Esav's Malach. But when it comes to taking a sword and killing someone, it's possible for him to misinterpret how to execute it in this world. It's possible for him to understand how to do it right also. That's his Nisayan. We wouldn't have such a Nisayan. God says, kill out every man, woman, child, and Amalek. We have no problem understanding what God means. That's not a Nisayan. Shaul was so great that was his Nisayan. The Malbim says he did it. He left the animals alive. How could Shaul do it? Hashem said, kill the animals. How can you not kill the animals? The Malbim says he was going to kill the animals. He was going to bring them as a carbon. So he understood Hashem's command is don't let the animals live. What does Hashem mean? Kill them immediately. What does Shaul understand? Let them live. And I'll kill them as kabanas. Because he understood this tzibah at a higher level. Kill every man, woman, and child. He did. Agag he didn't kill. Why not? Because he's going to have a public hanging. He was going to kill him. Just not... the tzibah was, as soon as you find a god, kill him right away. He was going to make a kiddush shemayim, make a grand order to fe, have all Klal Yisrael there together, hang him, kill him, shoot him. It's a kiddush shemayim, understand? This is so clear. It's so, this part, it's so easy to understand that he understood the lemaisa, the actual, at a high level. And Hashem didn't mean that. Hashem meant, no. I didn't mean that you should do it in a special way. I don't want you to do it in a glamorous way. I don't want you to do it in a way that it's going to spread God's name throughout creation. You see him kill him. And he didn't understand that. That's his insight. And you see it because Shmuel HaNavi said, "You Master Tvar Hashem, you held God's word in disgust." You, Shaul says, "Hakimayshin Tvar Hashem, I did it. How could you say that? Don't you know you didn't do it? I did it." The way you understand it, this helps you out a little bit. It's magic of art. That's what the Gemara means when it says Kol Hashayifnei Yeshia. He's able to mix people up. He's able to mix people up. Yeshia means he can, but it's not in the area of Lamaisa. It's not clear. It's mixed up. Yeshia means it's mixed up. That everything is clear by Shaul, clearer than anyone else has ever penetrated, until it comes to this world. And once it comes to decisions that have been made in this world, it's not clear. Yeshia means unclear. David HaMelech, Kol Yifnei Yatzliach. He's Matzliach. He's successful. He has the same process as Shaul, and when it comes to Lamaisa, it's clear as a bell. Halacha Kemaisa. Probably not. But, I would say not. Shaul was bigger than David. And that was his problem.
David did Bathsheba Avera, right?
But he came back from it. He came back from it. David HaMelech is able to come back. Why can he come back? Because he's been there. So that means he can make a Kiddush Hashem even from that. You know who comes from that union? Right, okay. So it's related to the Gemara before. We're going to have to go into it more maybe on Sunday, maybe tomorrow. To stop over here. But now you can understand what it means. That's why David is the Melech, and Shaul is not the Melech. Because David has Midah of Malchus, and Shaul could only get the Midah of Malchus by joining together with David. And since if he would have joined together with David, then he also would have had the Midah Malchus. Because Malchus and Klai Yisrael were supposed to come from someone who's the highest together with someone that relates to the lowest. That's Yonason and David. But since Shaul didn't understand this, he rejected David. Yeah? So Shaul lost it. The Midah Malchus comes from David.
Why did Hashem pick Shaul in the first place if he had this Midah?
Because he had the Bechiras. This is the Nisayon. He could have chosen properly. He could have seen clearly. It was his Nisayon. He chose. No, it was a Bechiras.
So he was supposed to lower himself to that level? How does he relate to that level?
He's obviously borderline. That means he's at the point where he could. He just
didn't. What did he go through that he was able to relate to? You say you have to be there to understand it. So he's supposed to do an Avera in order, purposely in order.
No, he does not have to do an Avera. It's the same answer of Adam Arishan, where Hashem created the Eitz Hadas. So Adam, the snake said, if it's there, then it must be supposed to eat it.
Right.
The answer is no. If it's there, it must be supposed to work and not coming close to it.
So how's Shaul going to help the jelly out? You know, how is what?
By going to where he goes and coming back from it. Without actually doing it.
Uh-huh. It's like Golus and his Hasidim are into
it. It's a way of doing it through Torah. It's much, it's something which is almost, it's impossible to do, but that means to go through the Mahalach of Chet without actually doing the Chet.
Right.
I mean, these things are way, something way, these are way, things are way beyond us. He didn't do it. If he would have done it, so then he would have made the right choices. He didn't do it. There's an assignment for it. I got a lot done. I mean, these things.
So, is there a rabbi today?
No.
No?
Hey.
Where's Rabbi Greenwood?
House. Talk to see if I'm coming to Arnav.
What?
We'll find out if I'm coming to
Arnav. Is Mashiach coming from Shlomo? So didn't the first baby die from
Akiva?
The
first baby died.
Wasn't he supposed to be Mashiach?
That union, though, no?
Wasn't he supposed to be Mashiach?
Well, that baby couldn't live.
Yeah?
He likes to record his
that
question.
That baby couldn't live because that baby, there was something improper about it. It wasn't a cultivation.
So then why, how's Mashiach coming from the...
Because it comes from the second one.
But he was married to her. He was
because the first
married.
Baby was a product of the Veira, and Shlomo was a product of the Tshuva.
But it,
Shabbos,
he's not really married, though.
But the first baby was a product of the Aveira, and Shlomo was a product of the Tshuva.
So it's connected to the Aveira, you're saying?
The Tshuva has the good part. The Aveira has a good part and a bad part.
act of the Aver is the bad part.
Right, but how's it fool the Satan though? Because it's real marriage.
What fooling the Satan doesn't.
No, because they say
I know exactly what you mean, but like, I don't understand fooling. Fooling the Satan. If you want me to answer your question based on fooling the Satan, I can't because the Satan's not stupid.
No, I'm just saying the concept that Mashiach comes from sources that look very shady.
It does.
So this is, she was fully married though.
Fully married, but it's a shade of impropriety. The Navi called it Gezela. He didn't call it a Gezela.
Oh, the marriage in general, you're saying.
Gezela, right?
The whole
it's Gezela. She's stolen. She's supposed to wait for her husband to come back, even though there was a gap. The mom says this. The Navi calls it Gezela.
Uh-huh.
It's Gezela. David HaMelech is called the Gazla, and David HaMelech is really Chayiv Misa. David HaMelech said he's Chayiv Misa. The Navi asked him, right. What would you... There is a shade of impropriety, but the baby that was born from the impropriety... could not be Mashiach. Shlomo is the baby that's born from the way back.
Right.
And he married her the right way. He married her after... Shlomo was born after Uriah died, you understand?
Right.
The first baby was born before Uriah died. The second baby was born afterwards. The second baby, there was nothing wrong with it. It's kind
of... Avshalom was before?
Avshalom was from a different wife.
Alright.
He's just a
Pashas. What happens on your own? Yes. Yeah. Pashas. What happens on your own? You see that? It's Mamashino. Mahalo. Right. You understand?
Yeah.
Love, the first baby is born from the improper. The Shlomo is from the way back. And that's what Mashiach does. Mashiach doesn't do Averis. Mashiach helps us come in. He's born from coming back. That's what Mashiach
does. No, I'm just looking at the concept of the fool and the Satan and that whole...
I don't believe in that.
The fact that Mashiach looks like it's an Averis, that's all. And yeah. I didn't realize that. I didn't think of the whole marriage being that. I just saw the one act. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Rabbi.